Alex, we only have a few moments left to live, so why don't we just admit it? We love each other. We always have.
Oh, come on, Ed. This is the real apocalypse. I am not wasting my last moment on Earth doing that stupid joke with you.
What? I was serious.
Really?
Welcome to Ragnarok, your home of the Nerdpocalypse.
Welcome to Ragnarok, everybody. This is a very special episode because we're recording this during the Mayan apocalypse.
Yeah. Well, we think so. I mean, we all locked ourselves in the bunker pretty early.
There are no windows or...
We've cut ourselves off from all contact with the outside world. No internet.
Nope. No television.
I'm not sure how we're going to post this, but we'll figure it out.
I was just planning to throw the mic out the door of the bunker and
and hope somebody...
Yeah.
And hope one of the apocalyptic survivors takes the data disk and...
You know,
memory card?
Yes.
If they're not too mutated or wounded.
Maybe future generations can enjoy our apocalypse.
So if you're listening to this podcast, congratulations.
Good
you
job.
You are preserving history.
Or do you guys think that I should just, you know, save it until I die and...
No, I think you should throw it out. Right? I think that's our best chance of survival.
You know what? Why don't we make a copy of it?
That
we'll
way I can
throw one out and you can clutch another one until your inevitable death, probably in about a week.
Right. That way someone can find my skeleton and they'll find it clutched and they'll know how important it was.
Some sort of future
in... And if anybody listening to this survived and is not a zombie, come get us.
Or a horrible
mutation. Come get us. Because we probably have run out of air.
Yeah.
And food.
Yeah. We didn't really pack.
And there's no toilet.
There's a bucket.
Yes.
There's one.
It's already filled up.
Don't we have an episode to do?
Yeah. Well, episode 29. We have scheduled that we're going to talk about our favorite things of 2012.
Yeah. But, I mean, does it really... I mean, this is the last episode of ever.
That's right,
so
that's right.
We're just really passing the time until we die a slow, horrible, painful death.
Let's share the title of our episode.
Whoa, no. Guys, that's remember...
True. What? What's wrong with the title? Ragnarok...
No.
Nerdpocalypse 2012 Extravaganza.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the alt title.
Oh, yeah, no.
No, we cannot talk about the alt title.
No, we can't.
Awesome. We actually found the alt title in a tome bound in human skin. I'm pretty sure that the words were written in blood.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, we found it at a Mayan pyramid.
Yes.
So that was...
And there was an old scholar who told us that those are actually the words that will initiate the Mayan apocalypse.
Right.
So we're not going to say them.
But they're really
they
cool.
Are. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is probably the best alt title we've ever
definitely,
come up with.
Definitely.
Badass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we can't say it.
No.
Yeah, well, I guess we can introduce ourselves so people know who we are if they find our dead bodies.
That's true. For future people.
I'm Meyer.
I'm Alex.
Meyer will be the desiccated corpse with the nice ass.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm Ed.
And I'm Ryan. I'm going to be the desiccated corpse clutching the recording of this podcast.
Right. I'm going to be the undesiccated corpse because, no offense, guys, but I plan on killing and desiccating all of you.
That's fine.
Before I die.
You did read most of that Mayan apocalypse thing.
I'm pretty sure my brain is like 85% evil right now.
Yeah.
Did you fail your sanity check?
I didn't even bother making it.
Okay.
Yeah,
is that why your eyes are glowing?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Also, it's really dry down here, so I've been rubbing them a lot.
Yeah.
And I'll be the other desiccated corpse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can just start this thing off and talk about our favorite things of 2012. Doesn't really matter.
Right. I don't think we should limit ourselves to just our things that necessarily came out in 2012, but things we found in 2012,
right.
too.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So this is our year in review.
Like that 8-bit... Have you ever played this 8-bit game? It's called Super Mario Brothers.
Is that the one where you have to jump on the cubes and you're like the little guy with the weird...
No, that's Cubert.
Oh, then no.
Okay. Well, then we won't talk about that one.
Okay.
So let's talk about better times. Movies. Let's start with the movies.
Movies are a great distraction from the end times.
Mm-hmm. So my personal favorite movie of 2012 would have to be The Avengers.
That's
a good choice.
It was plenty of build up. Iron Man came out in 2004-ish maybe or five, not four ish five six
five or six yeah
yeah
and. Probably six, actually, and you know, waiting all these years, and it was an insane concept. Who knew if it would actually, you know, work out, and actually it was amazing.
Had a lot of hype to live up to.
Yeah.
Well, especially they were like seeding all of their movies, building up to it with little Easter eggs, and
Yeah, all the endings with Sam Jackson and...
And it's like all these movies, but the same, like different movies, but the mm-hmm. same in the same continuity. And it's, it was, you know...
They, yeah. What was, what's his name, Coulson was in all, most of them.
Yeah, Nick Fury was in most yeah. of them.
Yeah, it was well done. And Joss Whedon knocked it out of the park.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, definitely.
You know, actually seeing these characters back now together from all these other movies, knowing their backstory, now they're together, and it worked.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was...
I thought, well, one of my favorite things about it was they took the characters that had been pre-established in all these movies, and they kept those characters, you know, that they
except
were still...
Banner.
Well, he was still the same character, just a different
actor.
But Joss Whedon also put that special little Joss Whedon spin on it. I personally thought that the best parts of the movie were Tony Stark and Bruce Banner. I thought they were so well written.
Yeah.
Their intercourse was... What? They're not their sexual intercourse. I'm talking about...
Ed's writing some slash fic here.
Yeah.
Their discourse. Is that better?
Yes. Their dialogue.
Dialogue, whatever.
Their talky parts.
Their talky parts.
They played off of each other really well, yes. I thought, too.
Yeah.
And then the action scenes, of course, were...
Oh, yeah.
Just,
well, that's...
That was, like, a spectacle. It was huge. Mm-hmm. It was a summer blockbuster, and it definitely felt like...
It busted the block.
Mm, really?
All of Manhattan just destroyed.
Yeah.
And I thought Whedon did a great job of finding that balance between action movie and, you know, finding the drama in all of these big,
oh, yeah.
big
yeah.
egos getting yeah. together and having to work as a team.
Yeah.
And Michael Bay explosions are great, but...
You need a little heart.
Yes.
And speaking of Joss Whedon, that was probably my favorite movie of the year was Cabin in the Woods, which came out just a few weeks before Avengers and didn't get as much hype, but I thought was...
I wonder why.
Really good. I don't know. But it was really good. It was like... Such a great horror story and such a twist on it, and then a twist on the twist. I just thought it was really, really well done.
I thought you said
really
it was well Joss Whedon, not M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
It was Joss Whedon.
Was that the twist?
No.
Do you think the Mayan Apocalypse is an M. Night Shyamalan twist?
Probably.
Yeah. It depends whether or not it happens.
Okay.
What the twist? Yeah, but I thought the characterization, how they just played off all the archetypes and stereotypes for typical teens go to a cabin in the woods horror movie.
Yeah.
And just sort of turned it all on its head.
I actually haven't seen it yet. I want to, though.
I have not seen it either.
And they even roped in like a bunch of just quick little references to horror movies in general, like monster movies, all the different folklore of monster cinema history, and I guess even like regular folklore. I mean, because there was the one guy who kept going on about the mermaid.
Right, yeah, he wanted to see a mermaid. Although the unicorn was probably the best.
Yeah, I like the unicorn.
The monster mash at the end was pretty awesome.
And also, yeah,
Cabin in the Woods was an awesome movie.
And Thor was in it, too.
Yes, he was. Chris Hemsworth was in it.
I do need to see that. I've been getting really into horror lately for some reason.
Me too. I blame Lovecraft.
Yes, I was just going to say, I think it's a lot of it has to do with my discovery of Lovecraft.
Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm going to make the joke again, but I guess we failed our sanity checks.
I never made
yeah.
it.
Why would you want to?
No,
it's always more fun.
I mean, just to stray from the topic for a second, there is something to be said for sort of losing your mind when you read horror, and actually to read something or to see something that actually, like the thing or... Like what you sound, what it sounds like, Cabin in the Woods was that actually affects you and makes you go like, oh shit, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't oh shit. It was not like a scary oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really a horror movie. It was more of a love letter to horror movies.
Okay.
I mean, it had horror elements, but I don't
in
think
the,
they were
in the same way that like Shaun of the Dead was a love letter to zombie movies. And,
kind of, yeah.
And,
like it sort of hangs a lantern on all those horror tropes,
uh-huh.
And then explains also why. They have them.
Yeah, okay. Why they're so common.
Yeah. It's you can't explain it without ruining the whole story, but it's really good.
And we've given a little bit of a spoiler already, so we'll stay away
right.
from that.
Well, yeah, so Ed, what was your favorite movie this year?
I actually saw my favorite movie this year. Well, I'm going to lie a little bit because my favorite movie this year was probably The Avengers, but I don't want to double dip, so I'm going to go... I am not George Costanza.
That's good.
So I'm actually going to go with what I saw last night, which
Costanza.
Was The Hobbit.
Last night?
I loved The Hobbit. I thought it was really well done.
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either.
Did you see it in 42 frames a second?
I did not see it in 42 frames a second. I saw it in regular frames, and it was not...
Regular frames whatever. A second.
It was regular... Whatever regular frames regular are.
24p.
Yeah, I saw it go. In regular frames per second.
I thought it was really well done. I thought that, you know, a lot of people were complaining that it wasn't as good as Lord of the Rings, and a lot of people said, you know, oh, it was a... This is a dumbed-down version. Well, yeah. Hobbit's a kid's yeah, story.
It's not as big of a story.
It's a children's story. I know Ryan is a little sort of disconcerted about the fact that it's being split up into three movies.
Yeah, that's kind of the reason why I didn't want to see it, because, I don't know, the end of the Return of the King, to me, just sort of dragged and dragged and dragged for, like, the last 45 minutes.
Right, and they cut stuff out of that, too.
And I was worried that it would be another, you know, Peter Jackson masturbating on the screen for... A long time.
Well, I think, for me, the reason I like The Hobbit, and the books, too, I don't really love the Lord of the Rings books. I know that's blasphemous.
Do you like The Hobbit, though?
I love The Hobbit. The Hobbit is dense, but The Hobbit is a dense children's book. So it sort of equals a regular book. The Lord of the Rings is just a dense book, and it's too dense for me to really enjoy. And I think the same can be said for the movies, is that as much as I like the Lord of the Rings movies, yes, the end dragged, and they were very long, especially the extended cuts. The Hobbit, yeah. I think, is a dense story, but it's a dense children's story, so I don't think there's going to be as much sort of... I don't think there's going to be as much wasted time, as much that's just like sort of expanding the universe. I think most of it is going to be interesting plot. Because I thought The Hobbit was interesting plot. There wasn't a moment to me that felt like it was dragging. I thought it was very entertaining. And no, it wasn't as serious as Lord of the Rings. It was a little sillier. You know, you have the three trolls. But the three trolls are silly in the book.
Yeah.
I thought that it adhered to the book's... more than Lord of the Rings did. Because he has that freedom too.
There's also less in there.
Right.
So, I mean, if you can't really start cutting things out of The Hobbit without, you know, just cutting out chunks of story.
Right, and I think if he had done it in one movie, it would have been a good movie, but he would have had to cut out a lot.
Mm. I mean, I understood when he said he was going to make it 2. I think 3 could be a little excessive too.
3 could be excessive, I guess.
I do think it's too much for 1.
But I think that, yeah, it's definitely too much for 1.
Yeah, I saw it at IMAX 3D, 42 frames per second.
How was that extra D?
It was double D. So it's like double D breasts. You can't have more D when it's...
They're in your face.
They're good.
Okay.
I can never get that extra D. I have no depth perception.
Sucker.
All 3D. Breasts look the same to Ryan.
Yes.
Ryan, depth is overrated.
I live in a flat, breastless world.
The saddest world ever.
Speaking of Ryan's...
It does sound like a nerd's world, though.
Flat and sad world. What was your favorite movie?
This is...
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Meyer wasn't done.
I was going to say...
You started talking about breasts. I got distracted.
Yeah. That happens.
Yeah.
I was going to say that I enjoyed it as well, because, you know, people have been complaining... about it a lot, and I enjoyed it well. I would say the beginning did kind of drag a little bit.
I did think
I was kind of like, come on, leave Hobbiton, come on.
I thought the Elijah Wood bit was way too long.
It was the beginning that was kind of dragging.
There was no need. Having Ian Holm start to narrate and be like, and then I went on this journey.
Yeah.
That was great. And then all of a sudden you have Elijah Wood coming. That was way too much. The introduction was way too long. I will agree with you there.
Yeah, as I said, the rest of the movie was good. It was just the beginning. I kind of dragged from it. I was like, come on, just get to the adventure.
Right. I think one of the reasons people might be complaining about this one is that, you know, when they first made Lord of the Rings, no one really knew what to expect.
Yeah.
And they went and they're like, holy shit, this is awesome. So now that that's done, they're expecting, all right, this is going to be Lord of the Rings again. And The Hobbit... just isn't as, you know, grand and exciting of a story.
It's a children's story.
I think a lot of people haven't read the books and don't realize that.
Right.
Past the beginning, once they get to the adventure, all the dwarves were fun characters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the cast was fantastic.
Yeah, you know, being Gandalf the Grey being back. I mean, Gandalf, who, you know, he's not Gandalf the White anymore. He's back to Gandalf the Grey. He's a very strong character, but he's still not like the all powerful wizard he is anymore. He makes mistakes.
Right.
He doesn't know everything.
I will say it was a little hard to watch Christopher Lee.
It was.
He doesn't look well. It was not an easy. I mean, it was a short scene, but it was kind of a hard scene to watch because.
Yeah. Oh, he's getting on in years.
Oh yeah,
but you know, we're back into, you know, the Shire and back to Middle Earth and all the beautiful scenery of New Zealand.
Yeah,
it was. It was really good.
James Nesbitt was the best dwarf, though.
Yeah. So,
suck up.
So I think if you go to the movie,
suck up.
Yep.
Just expecting, not expecting anything.
I don't know how much
anything.
You're such a James Nesbitt kiss ass.
I think if you go to see The Hobbit without, you know, trying to just expecting anything more than just a Lord of the Rings movie, then I think you'll be.
Oh yeah.
And talking about expectations, I think that's an even better segue to Ryan's movie.
You're welcome.
I was also going to pick Cabin in the Woods, but I didn't want to double dip.
Ryan and I are liars, in other words.
Yeah.
Well, I did enjoy this movie a lot more than other people did. My movie is Prometheus.
Yeah, I really liked it too.
I could see how people kind of were a little disappointed with it, but it was fun. And I think people were expecting something more deep from Ridley Scott that they didn't get.
Yeah.
But it was still a great fucking movie.
Yeah. It was also sort of an homage to those old sci-fi horror movies where you say, no, don't open the door, don't open the door. And then they open the door and you're like, oh, why did you open the door?
Right.
Because they did that all the time.
It was a B movie with an A movie budget. It was like the most polished B movie ever.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, Alien, the original Alien was a B movie and you can tell.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, it had a lot of really great scenes that worked. The scene with the, what do you call it? The cesarean section machine.
Oh, God, that was awful. But a good scene in the beginning with David the Android, his minute scene with him just on the ship by himself. Cutting his hair and watching Lawrence of Arabia.
Playing basketball.
Yeah.
Running his
that
bike.
Was pretty cool, yeah.
And I thought they did. They created a really scary monster that ended up being, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but
yeah,
it was terrifying.
Yeah, and it was very effective and very fun for what it was.
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was really good too.
And Noemi Rapace is her name. Was that the actor?
No, Noemi Rapace.
Yeah. I think she's a good strong character, just like Ripley was.
Yeah. Yeah. She had to cut herself open, which Ripley didn't do. That was awful.
That was body horror at its best.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Yeah. Idris Elba also was really good in it.
Yes. I love Idris Elba.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be also more sequels to it, right?
I think they're making one more, it's supposed to be.
Well, this world doesn't explode in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
It is.
We're going to miss out on that, too.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about things we did like. Yeah, what about television? So what television shows did we find this year?
Well, there wasn't really that much good TV shows.
Yeah, nothing really came out.
Yeah.
But a show that I recently got into was a British show called Misfits. It came out. It's relatively new. I mean, it came out in 2009. It just finished its fourth series.
Okay.
And it's about these British kids who are doing community service. And they get stuck in a storm that gives them superpowers, and so it's just about, like, you know, it's a very British telling of superheroes, basically.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I'm just really into it. All the characters are awesome, and it's well written, and I watch it on Hulu, so if Hulu still exists, you should probably watch it.
My show was a British show, too. I'm pretty sure we found this year, Sherlock, which was just fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
in every way possible.
More Moffat.
I mean, it didn't come out this year. but
the new season, the series,
the end of next year, but we'll just say it was this year.
Yeah, no, I know when it came. I just don't remember when we started watching it or when I started watching it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember if it was the very end of last year or the beginning of this year, but it's really good.
Yeah,
Stephen Moffat at his best.
Oh yeah,
I have to be talking to you about after reading that book. Your memory is not as what it used to be.
No, it's true.
Really?
Yeah, it's not very good.
Well, it's because I have lots of new stuff in my brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it might actually be physically eating my memory.
And Sherlock has a lot of stuff in his brain as well.
Yeah. That's exactly, yeah. It's like that.
Sure. I mean, Sherlock was... Moffat also did the Jekyll mm-hmm. miniseries. Moffat does these modern retellings so well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jekyll is fantastic.
Jekyll is amazing. This
Sherlock is amazing.
There I go. I'm kissing up to James Nesbitt again.
I told you.
Doctor Who.
Such a James Nesbitt kiss-ass.
He helped write Tintin. Yeah. He's a good writer.
He did help write Tintin.
But the updated Sherlock is just so well done.
Each episode is like a movie.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic. Really. If you haven't seen it yet, watch it. You're doing yourself a disservice. Mm-hmm. The first two seasons are on Netflix. There's only 3 episodes per season, but they are fan-fucking-tastic. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And it's another thing. Like, I hadn't seen Benedict Cumberbatch in anything before this.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, man, he's amazing.
And he's great. And Martin Freeman plays Watson, right? And he's, I mean, Martin Freeman, he was in The Hobbit, too. He plays Bilbo.
Great Bilbo.
What?
Great Bilbo, I said.
Yeah, he was a great Bilbo, and he was in Hitchhiker's Guide. He played Arthur Dent.
Yep.
He
was in Shaun of the Dead.
Yes, he was the other guy who wasn't Shaun.
Yeah,
he is a great.
He was Yvonne's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get him and Simon Pegg confused because they both play a really good put upon everyman,
and they're both in Edgar Wright's next movie.
Yeah. Hmm. But, I mean, Watson is sort of an everyman who just sort of is in these crazy situations.
Yeah.
And, so Martin Freeman does that really well.
Mm-hmm.
And the villain, we won't give it away, is just...
Well, it's Moriarty.
Well, yeah, it's Holmes, Ed.
That's
not...
true.
Spoilers, Holmes and Moriarty have a big rivalry.
Oh, God.
But just like Aristotle and Smashy Smack Plate!
But he's brilliant. He's absolutely...
Yeah, it's a very good modern retelling of Sherlock.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So what was your favorite TV show, Eddie?
My a TV show that I just recently got into this year, which I don't... It's not a good show, but I love it. It's American Horror Story. And I've been saying this for a little while now, and Meyer and I know watches it. Yeah. It's not a well-written show.
Yeah.
It's really... The only reason I watch it is because it has stellar performances.
Yeah, it has a lot going on the plot, and it's like confusing as why.
Especially like the first season wasn't bad. The first season was really cliched, and kind of hokey and heavy-handed. But I think that was kind of the point.
Mm-hmm.
And it had really good performances. You know, you had Dennis O'Hare and Jessica Lange.
Yeah.
This season, there's way too much going. Within the first 4 episodes, there's demonic possession, and it's not like a monster of the week thing. It's like an overarching plot. And within the first 4 episodes, there's a character possessed by a demon, by the devil. There's a character who's been abducted by aliens.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody who's secretly a Nazi. There's a sadistic, hypocritical nun. There's a serial killer. There's just so much going on. It's way too much to... And individually, except for the aliens, which are kind of lame, each storyline is kind of... nice, but there's just too much going on. And again, like I said, it's not a very well-written show, but...
It sounds like they're throwing everything
in.
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking,
if you actually manage to get possessed by the devil, that's kind of an honor.
I don't think he's the devil, though.
No, they've said that she's the devil.
Oh.
Like, yeah. I mean, if you get possessed by the devil, like Satan...
That's pretty good.
Come on, you should say thank you.
But the reason to watch that show is primarily Jessica Lange. She's in both seasons. She plays different characters. In the first season, she plays this aging actress, failed actress, who sort of came to Los Angeles to make a name for herself and completely failed. And she has 3 kids. One of them has Down syndrome, one of them's schizophrenic, and one of them's,
disfigured.
Monster in the attic kind of kid. And in
so
the
she's
second,
not a very good mother.
No, not at all. And in the second season, she plays this hypocritical, sadistic nun. and she's really the reason to watch the show. And, you know, you got Zachary Quinto, too. He's doing great. And it's really all about the performances. And that's why I watch the show. So I would recommend it if you can get past the fact that it's written so badly.
I also think American Horror Story is a cool concept of a show because it's each season is like a different miniseries. Yes. It doesn't really connect to...
Well, so far, there's only been two seasons.
Well, yeah. But it's the same character, the same actors, but, you know, it's a different thing. That's kind of cool.
The Jessica Lange came back, Lily Raab came back,
and
Zachary Quinto came back.
Yeah, and I don't know that one guy's name.
Joseph Fiennes?
No.
No, he's new in this season.
The guy who played the psychopath in the first season, and then the guy got abducted by Alien.
Oh, right, him. I forget his name. And
that guy.
Dylan McDermott comes back also.
That's a risk that a lot of American television isn't really willing to take. Like, I know that originally the idea for Heroes, or so I've heard, was that they were going to follow a different cast of characters in every season.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they abandoned that because they figured, well, we've got something that works, let's stick with it. And,
yeah, then it stopped working.
Yeah. Well, so honoring that choice from the beginning of, you know, well, we're done with this story now, we're going to go tell a different story.
And I think using the same cast
is interesting.
Is interesting because it keeps you like Jessica Lange. I like to watch Jessica Lange perform. Yeah.
Right.
But having the different cast, I mean, it works in the second season because it is a different story and they did wrap up the first story. I sort of wish that they were telling a better story. But then again, you know,
you can't have everything.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm watching it. So.
Yeah. So what about you, Ryan?
Well, a couple of months ago, I got into Once Upon a Time, which premiered last year, I believe.
Yes.
And I've been really interested in that because it's done by ABC. ABC is owned by Disney, and so they're using a lot of the Disney versions of those characters, which I think is kind of a cop-out, but also kind of cool.
Are you up to date?
Yeah.
Okay.
So... you know, and the performances are really, really great, too. I especially love, what's his face, Robert Carlyle?
Yeah, Robert Carlyle is...
Who plays Mr. Gold.
Robert Carlyle is always good and creepy.
That's another show that I feel like it's about the performances, and it's not written badly. I mean, it's the second season's kind of not as strong.
I get you there. I agree with you.
And I think that the first, like you said, the cop-out thing about the Disney thing... They were doing it less in the first season. Like, they still did it.
Right, but when Mulan came into
it... But now you have Mulan and...
Captain Hook and...
The one that really threw me for a loop was Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was just a weird choice. I don't understand... Because that's not even a Disney thing.
Everyone knows the fairy tale of Dr. Frankenstein.
That was just a weird choice.
Dr. Frankenstein and his monster.
Because the character who is Dr. Frankenstein, I won't give it away... You don't know who he is for such a long time.
Right. And the anticipation there was kind of a letdown.
And then it was like, oh, that's an odd, odd choice. Very weird.
It's the old lady, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's a very good, show. I've been watching it since it premiered.
But I especially love Robert Carlyle. Yeah. I wish I had his job, because you think about it, his job is he gets to go to work. He either wears really nice suits or really awesome makeup, and he gets to be a dick to everybody, no matter what.
He's usually a dick to people in things he plays.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he was Begbie in Trainspotting.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's...
one of the things I like about the show is that the characters, especially the villains, aren't black and white.
Stargate Universe.
Regina.
That's all I got.
Regina and Mr. Gold both have their motivations.
Right. That's not just, I'm going to do evil for people's sake.
Right. And Regina is essentially the evil queen from Snow White.
Oh, great.
Well, you know that from episode one.
Oh, great.
But by episode, by season two, she started to make a change.
Right.
And it's very well earned. I think she's like earned that change and she's... you do see the character transform, and you know even Rumpelstiltskin has a motivation for changing.
And I hope they do a better job. I don't want to say a better job with the second half of the second season.
Yeah.
Well, I guess from video games, we'll be on to TV shows, on to video games.
No, let's go from video games to video games.
Let's do that. So let's talk about video games, people.
Why don't we talk about video games?
My personal favorite. Well, I was kind of stuck between two games. For my favorite, I guess.
Why are you doing a Richard Nixon impression?
Because Meyer is not a crook.
No one saw that ad, and now people are going to know I'm an idiot.
Or a crook.
Thanks.
Meyer talks with his hands.
It was either The Walking Dead video game, which was very excellent, but I would choose, my favorite video game would be Mass Effect 3, because Mass Effect, the franchise, has been my favorite franchise of the current generation of consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Despite its flaws, I enjoyed finally finishing up Shepard's story.
Awesome. We can talk about the ending without. I mean, it's been a long enough time that it's not a spoiler, I think.
Well, if you don't want to know anything about the end of Mass Effect 3, stop listening.
Yeah,
and unsubscribe.
No, don't unsubscribe.
I think that I don't. I can see why people thought that the ending was a little disappointing, but I liked it. I mean.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I thought it was good.
I liked it after the extended cut.
I never played it before the extended
cut. I thought it was better with the extended cut, but I still thought it was okay before that.
The thing that disappointed me was I felt that the end game, the last battle, was kind of lame.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I wanted a bigger battle at the end, and that whole thing where you're sort of stumbling towards the teleporter and those...
the conduit.
Yeah, that was really annoying.
Yeah.
But I thought the ending was pretty much what it should have been.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good. It ended Shepard's story and wrapped everything up.
The extended cut basically ended, showed you what your decision did. It didn't really tell you what your final decision really did. It was like, all right, this is what, this is your decision. And then it doesn't show you, what happens to all your friends. So I was always worried. I was like, well, okay, I did that, but what happened to everyone else?
Right.
And that's why many people complain, because you didn't
know. I can see that, because, like I said, I only played it after the extended cut was sort of mandatory.
Right. Yeah.
So...
No.
I never saw any other ending.
It's like, before you get to the conduit, there's an explosion, and then the two people you were with, on your teammates,
just
disappeared, and you're like, did they die? What happened? And
I assumed they died, and then, because I had Garrus with me, I'm like, oh, I guess he's dead, and then Garrus showed up in the cutscene at the end, and I was like, oh, how did he get back there?
Yeah, so it was... I'm glad the extended cut actually finally showed me what my decision, and I now know what my friends from the game, what happened to the end.
Yeah.
And I also think that you can't, whatever you want to say about the ending, judging the game as a whole, it was a good game.
Yeah.
It was a good game.
Yeah.
People thought it was too short. I didn't think it was that.
I think it was a little too much. I was walking through to the Citadel, and you just get all these information popped in. You was like, oh god, this is a lot to take in at once.
I certainly didn't think it was too short. I thought it was fine.
But
I've heard people say that it was too short.
I think just thought it was a little too dense. Like if you spread it out a little bit, it'd be better.
Well, I mean, I would have said my favorite game, because I love Mass Effect, but I'm also a big fan of the Assassin's Creed franchise. But after the incredibly disappointing end of Assassin's Creed 3, which was probably one of the worst endings from any game I've ever played.
Well, there goes my Christmas gift.
Sorry.
It's all right. Christmas might not even exist anymore.
Yeah. The game is great, but the ending was awful. God-awful. Like, if people were complaining about Mass Effect 3, they should have really been complaining about this. So anyway... I went with Borderlands 2.
Well, enough.
Fun from start to finish. Fucking funny as hell. Great gameplay. Loved every second of it.
I haven't played it yet. I mean, I want to, though.
It is awesome. Really well written. Has a lot more of a story than the first one. Has an actual ending, too. I mean, it has a bit of a cliffhanger, but it's not just like, oh, game's over. Like, you know this is the end. And it's really good. I mean, they've been putting out DLC for it regularly. That's been great. It's just a really, really well done quality game. Mm-hmm. And I give it 2 thumbs up.
So it's better than Duke Nukem Forever or whatever?
I never played that, but yes.
I think the cool thing about the Borderlands franchise, I guess it's franchise now,
yeah,
is, at least with the first one, it's fun. And it's really, I feel like it would be hard to make a bad Borderlands game.
Yeah.
Because the atmosphere is cool, and there's no expectations.
I mean, no, there are expectations for it, but it's different from, like, the next Halo game.
Right, I mean, what I mean by expectations, the expectations are it's going to be fun, and, like, the gameplay is going to be fun, and
right,
we're going to have cool guns, and we're going to...
Yeah,
that's... All those things. But as far as, like, oh, well, how could they have not put that character in? Because there really aren't any...
No, that's... I mean, people got attached to the characters from the first one. Yeah. They're all in there. They're just not playable.
Right.
But I think one of the things that amazed me most about it is that it was a sequel, and they kept the core, you know, everything from the first game, but everything... They improved it in pretty much every possible mm-hmm. way. So every change they made was an improvement. It wasn't one of those things where they changed something, you're kind of like, oh, why'd they do that? I missed the old one.
Like the opposite of Bioshock to Bioshock 2.
Right. It's like the changes they made were all good. And once you start playing it, you're like, oh... This is really cool. I really like what they did here. So it was very, very, very well done, and I always look forward to playing it.
Oh, my favorite game wasn't really a full game. It was DLC for Portal 2, the Perpetual Testing Initiative.
So good.
It's only available on Steam, which I don't have a computer that's got enough VRAM to play Portal 2, so I steal Allison's computer, and I play on hers.
It's so good.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, the Perpetual Testing Initiative is basically Valve's new kind of open forum for designing and sharing your own test chambers.
Yeah, players can make, design their own test chambers and put them up online, and other people can download them and play them. So it's like infinite portal.
Mm-hmm. You two can take a peek under the hood of Aperture Laboratories and, you know, do your own brand of science.
Yep.
You can be your very own GLaDOS.
Yes.
Do you get to pick GLaDOS, like, catchphrases for the...
No.
No.
They had J.K. Simmons go and record all new dialogue for Cave Johnson.
Tons and tons.
Yeah, the whole like, meta plot of it is that you are... Based in Aperture, I believe it's from a different universe, because Cave has an assistant named Greg instead of Carolyn.
Right.
And they're broke. Aperture's flat broke. So they decided what they're going to do is they invented this machine that will let them travel between parallel universes, and they're going to convince the Apertures in those universes to make their test chambers and then send their subjects over to the other universes and steal them.
Okay.
Yeah. So every time you start up, there's a Cave from a different universe, usually, giving you some bit of fantastic dialogue.
About, you know, you are in a tiny test chamber floating around in my bloodstream. I think that was one of my favorites.
Yeah. There are some really good ones.
What is the one? I'm Michigan Slim Cave Johnson, and if you're here, then you followed the hobo signs to Aperture Science.
Yeah, it's real. So if you have Portal 2 on Steam, definitely, you know, you probably have the Perpetual Testing Initiative. And if you don't, Portal 2 goes on sale regularly. I picked it up just the other week for $5. Totally worth it. And it's usually like 20, so it's still... I mean, I didn't know if my computer was going to be able to run it, but I figured for $5, if it doesn't, I only wasted $5.
Yeah.
And it does run it, so it's awesome.
And I think it's got 2 levels of cool, because not only do you get to design your own test chambers, but you get to play the test chambers that other people design. And they've even made it so that you can, people who don't just use the little crappy editor, you know, the simplified editor, people who, you know, use Valve's modified hammer editor and, you know, like do professionally designed test chambers can put their work up there too.
Yeah, so, and some of them are really good.
Yeah, they have their own little like mini stories.
Yeah.
I would recommend Design for Danger.
And the 12 Angry Tests is pretty good too.
So, Ed, what's your favorite video game?
I don't play video games.
Okay, all so right, let's
moving
go.
On.
Actually, it's was the Xbox Minecraft
That's fair.
Game. I thought, again, I'm kind of lying because all the other good ones were taken.
Well, but that's what you get for going last.
But this was another really good one that came out, the Xbox Minecraft. I was just playing it with Meyer. And some of the, also, they're just coming out with new expansions that make it even
Well, that's Minecraft.
Yeah.
Well, it's the computer version of Minecraft is awesome, and so is Xbox.
Well, I'm kind of a dinosaur, and I actually didn't play Minecraft until...
So, I love Minecraft. I love computer Minecraft. I just love Minecraft in general.
Yeah.
I like Xbox Minecraft because my computer is shitty, and I can't play it with my friends. And with my Xbox Minecraft, I can play with my friends.
Me too. Mm-hmm. It's the only game I bought twice, besides Portal 2.
Yeah, I bought it twice as well because my computer, I have to play with the rendering distance all the way down and, you know, the graphics turned all the way, you know, to the lowest possible setting.
Yeah.
And it still lags like shit. And playing it on my Xbox is just, you know, worlds better than that. When my Xbox was still functioning.
And I just never personally got into PC games because, I don't know, I always liked console games.
Yeah.
So I never got into Minecraft, and then it came out on Xbox, and it's not something I necessarily like playing by myself, but I think it's a really fun group activity.
It's a much different experience to play by yourself.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Two against the world.
Yep, literally.
And speaking of games that have kind of different playabilities... No, that's up terrible.
So let's talk about board and tabletop games.
Yeah, let's do that.
I think that we should talk about games with different playabilities. Is what...
I'm sorry. When you guys have been speaking, I've been reading from that book, and my mind's getting...
Yeah.
Oh, God, Meyer, not you too.
Well, Meyer, honestly, I've just been making you think you've been reading from the book. I've actually been eating your brain.
That explains a lot. Hey, all right.
With that tentacle.
Hey, Ryan. Yeah, Ryan, look at this. Read this word out loud.
Nope.
Ryan,
no.
say it.
No, I can't.
Can't. Ryan, I can hear you say it. What are you talking about?
No, I'm just thinking it. Right? Get out of my head. Talk about tabletop games.
Well, my favorite tabletop game, from Fantasy Flight, because I love Fantasy Flight. It's probably my favorite game developers. And it's, last year, they bought the Star Wars brand to make games. They bought the role-playing game, which is coming out. They bought card games, which I think just came out this week. And they have miniatures. And this game is miniatures, the X-Wing game. And it's basically just a dogfighting game with X-Wings. You have an X-Wing and there's two TIE fighters. And those are the games I like because it's you against someone else, one-on-one, it's just like the Star Wars. You're fighting as a dog fighting game. It's really cool.
They have these little like movement templates that you have to use to manage how your craft flies.
Yeah.
If you've ever wanted to feel like you're 13 years old, you know, playing with minis, then this is definitely the game for you.
Yeah.
And especially if you are 13 years old and playing with minis.
Why do I feel like we're going to get a comment from somebody who doesn't know what we're talking about and say, I think dogfighting is absolutely despicable.
Well, for that to happen, we'd actually have to get comments.
That's true.
Yeah.
And the miniatures are so well made, too.
They are really good.
They're just scale and they're...
Well, Fantasy Flight, I mean.
They're beautifully painted.
They don't screw around.
Except for their players' emotions.
Yeah.
And the rules are actually fairly incomprehensible until you actually play, and then...
Of course.
I'm pretty sure the apocalyptic book that we found was written by the people at Fantasy Flight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ancient
Mayan of Fantasy Flight.
And it's a rarity for Fantasy Flight because it's a game that you can actually win.
Yeah.
Someone wins.
Well, I mean, Battlestar, someone wins.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
It's usually the Cylons, though.
Well, yeah, but they win. I mean, my favorite game, I mean, I picked up the Game of Thrones board game this year, which is really fun. Mm. Really complicated. I think that was Fantasy Flight 2.
Yes.
Really in-depth, and it's fun. But by far, my favorite game is Eclipse Phase, which, if you listen to our actual plays, you probably know, because I keep running it. But I really love Eclipse Phase. It is definitely by far...
I love Eclipse Phase 2.
Shut up, Doc Skelax. It is definitely my most favorite RPG system I've ever found. I love everything about it. It is fantastic.
Yeah, same here. Mm-hmm. And I've been getting like creepily into transhumanism.
Yeah, me too.
Like I kind of don't want to believe in the singularity, but I also do want to believe in the singularity in a way.
That's what you get for reading Accelerando.
Yeah, that's...
Damn you, Charles Strauss.
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to what we were saying before about, you know, the Lovecraft's obsession with horror. It's kind of like Lovecraft in space.
Definitely. I mean, there's definitely lots of Lovecraft elements to it. I mean, it's sort of Call of Cthulhu in space.
Yeah.
A lot of the horror elements in it are very, you know, reminiscent of the Call of Cthulhu game. And then you're also in space on top of it.
I mean, a lot of the mechanics are the same. You don't roll for sanity, but your character can lose their mind. You know?
Yeah, they just call it something different, but it's pretty much the same thing.
I think what I like about it most is that most of the Eclipse Phase setting is hard sci-fi. You know, like, there are some elements that are way out there, like the Pandora Gates, you know, which is basically they're like, hey, let's put Stargate in our game.
Yeah.
And that'll be great. You know, and that's fun, too, and it sounds like a great, you know.
There's always going to be stuff like that.
But, like, Eclipse Phase is literally based off of, like, you know, research that people are actually doing nowadays and projections about where we're going to be with technology in 50 years. And I think it's a really, you know, it's a reasonable extrapolation of, well, what might happen if things go completely to hell.
I'm actually a fork of Ed, actually.
Yeah. So I can have a robot by when I'm in 50 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they can get brain mapping down.
If brain mapping is actually possible. Some people think it is, some people think it isn't.
Oh, by the way, yeah. Meyer, there are three flowers in the vase. The third flower is green.
I'm going to go, guys. Being right up.
But, and like, thinking about that, too, like, you know, getting into this idea of the singularity and brain mapping and uploading, like, we might not have to die, ever.
It's pretty cool.
We might be one of the fresh generations that doesn't have to die.
That's good.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
I don't know. I kind of want to die.
We can arrange
that. Some people say that.
Like, I don't want to die now, but I would like my life to end eventually.
Nah, I can deal with being immortal.
That could be arranged, Mr. Chris.
I can deal with all you guys dying and just living by myself.
I believe that.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah. Speaking of being by yourself, why don't we talk about comic books?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, we're skipping Ed because he didn't pick a favorite tabletop game.
Ryan has another one.
Yeah. Ryan has games because Ed's an idiot and doesn't play board games.
And I just thought of one, too.
It's not on the list, Ed. Doesn't count if it's not on the list.
I'm going to say it.
I also wanted to mention a game that Alex and I played with Chris. We have an actual play recording of it that's probably going to go up next week called Durance.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's by Bully Pulpit Games. It's
the makers of Fiasco.
Makers of Fiasco, right. And it's sort of one of those GM-less systems where you generate the setting and a whole bunch of characters and ideas for a prison colony in space. And you role-play the story, you know, of what happens to the characters.
Yeah.
And all of the settings are horrible.
Oh, yeah, they're awful.
They're terrible. But that just makes it a lot more fun.
I'm sorry, Ed farted, and apparently it's really funny, and Meyer's trying to adjust his legs. So that's
it's
why
cramped in
like
this bunker. Why do we pick the bunker that was like 5 foot by 5 foot?
But you picked it.
We don't actually have a bunker. This is just a hole I dug in my yard.
God damn it.
The door to the bunker is just a piece of plywood.
I thought you said we had like 5 bunkers in the Ragnarok budget.
No,
because each of you were supposed to dig a fucking hole in your yard, and I'm the only idiot who did it.
Oh. Hey, I rent. If I start digging holes in my yard, my landlord's going to get pissed.
My favorite game.
I actually discovered it this summer. It's a game called Castle Panic. It's another one of those everybody versus the game games. It's not Fantasy Flight, so it's winnable. I actually haven't lost a game of it. Basically, the concept is you play a bunch of, castle. You play the inhabitants of a castle, and you are defending your castle in this, like, middle section of a forest that is surrounded by goblins and orcs, and they're all slowly closing in on your castle. It's a tower defense game, but in board game form. And it's really a lot of fun, and it really does lend its name to Panic, because basically you need to make sure that your towers don't get destroyed, and as they get closer and closer, and you have all these assets in your hand, you attack with these cards in your hand, and you don't have the cards until it's your turn. So you have, like, an orc about to destroy your last castle, and then you draw the card that kills the orc, and basically, it all comes down to the last second.
So it's an edge
fairly
seat,
often.
Edge of your seat kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be great if it counted for this second.
And it's one of those games, too, where basically the way that turn works is, you know, let's say it was the four of us playing, I would draw my cards, I'd play my cards, and then I'd draw a bunch of monsters from the monster deck and put them on the board. So it's one of those games where you'll be like, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to do this, 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 and this. I'm going to trade this card with you. I'm going to trade this card with you. And then next turn, you can do this. And then you draw a bunch of monster cards, and it completely fucks your entire plan. Because,
so it's like Ghost Stories.
Exactly. It's like Ghost Stories, because there are certain monster cards that, like, move monsters forward, or move them clockwise, or just, like, teleport monsters across the board. So,
but you can win.
But you can win.
That's good.
Yeah, it's a really fun game. I recommend it. It's called Castle Panic.
I guess the last thing we could talk about would be books and comic books.
Yeah, why don't we?
My favorite comic book would be Saga by Brian K. Vaughan, who is probably my favorite, probably my favorite comic book writer.
Yeah, he's good. Very time. Good.
And Saga is it's a fiction fantasy book about two people from opposite sides of a war who have a child and are now getting hunted by every fucking thing in the galaxy.
Everything, yeah.
And it is probably one of the you know, best written things I've read in a long time, and it's Brian K. Vaughan, so it's amazing. The characters are amazing, and the art is really cool. And it's all being told by that story of the baby. So once in a while in a panel, you'll see a handwriting and say, and you know, it's the kid, the baby, like, well, grown up baby,
yeah,
grown up baby, writing in it.
Yeah, I mean, I love Saga too, but I have to say my favorite book that I read this year. I read the entire Game of Thrones saga, which is a lot and is really good. But Ready Player One, I don't remember the author right now. But it was fantastic. I read the whole book in like 3 days.
But he has another book he's going
to
write.
Yeah. But Ready Player One, it's like a love song to 80s pop culture set in a slightly future dystopian world where everyone's hooked up to virtual reality. And it was just really, really good. It was really fun, well written, a great adventure-y story. And I would highly recommend it to anyone who enjoys video games or pop culture or is a bit of a nerd. It was really, really good.
I would have to say my pick for my favorite read of 2012 would probably be Accelerando by Charles Stross, but...
that's not what you wrote, Ryan.
No. I feel bad picking that, though, because it didn't come out this year. It's actually several years old.
Yeah, that was really good, too.
But, yeah, if you haven't read Accelerando, check it out, because it's a fucking trip.
Especially if you're a fan of our Eclipse Phase games.
Yes. Alex said, you're stealing something from that, aren't you? You said
later. Did I? Not overtly.
Okay.
I got an idea from it.
But my favorite book that I've read this year that actually was published this year is Devil Said Bang by Richard Kadrey, which is the fourth book in the Sandman Slim series.
Richard Kadrey.
Yes. It's different than the other three books in the series. It's more like two stories. It's more like two novellas that kind of were too short to publish on their own, but kind of also work off of some of the same themes. And I feel like it took the character in a really positive direction. You know, made him more interesting and nuanced. And he's
don't spoil it too much because I'm reading through them.
Well, like you said, for those of you who don't know, in the first Sandman Slim book, the main character, Jim Stark, is a magician who is kidnapped and taken to hell for 11 years.
It's based on a true story, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So my dad thinks.
And he comes back from hell, and the first book is all about him getting revenge on the people who sent him there. And, you know, he's kind of an insufferable character. You know, he's the kind of character that even his friends, you know, are always pissed at him. And you know, because he just does.
He's an asshole.
He's like what Paul would be in a role playing game.
Pretty much.
But I feel like he's working toward being a better person, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, he's coming to terms with himself and who he is and what his role is. And I think it's going to play out in an interesting way in the future. installments. So.
Cool.
It's a good book. It's a good series. Check it out.
Yeah.
Well, that was... That's one segment down, and we're still alive.
Yeah, so far, so
for
good.
Now,
for so
now.
Let's take a break. I got to empty that the bucket.
Yeah. I think I'm going to dig myself a little bit of a niche here, so I have a little more space. Yeah.
And while we're taking a break, Ryan, can you read this out loud?
No, I can't.
No.
Please?
No. In fact, I'm gouging my eye out right now.
Oh, all right. So we'll be right back.
No.
Gonna get Ryan a Band-Aid.
Oh, God.
Meyer, it's going to be okay.
It's all right. If you read this out loud, it'll make you feel better.
Ed, well, I'm the evil one. What are you doing?
It's not making me feel better.
I'm blind.
It's in my head.
I'm not evil. I just have a compulsion.
And I'm blind.
Oh. I feel like you're from that Mitchell and Webb cartoon now, Ryan, the game show at the end of the world. And then they come. Yes. Then they...
Think about that, the event happening again. Do not think about the event happening again.
Stay indoors. Anyway, we're probably not helping Meyer.
Yeah.
What if we do die? All the awesome stuff we're gonna miss.
Like what?
Like the movies?
Like the movies.
Okay. What movies are you gonna miss, Meyer?
I'm gonna miss The Rest of the Hobbit.
No.
And the new Star Wars trilogy that's coming out. I mean, the prequels were sucked ass. This might be good. George Lucas wasn't going to be in it very much anymore. It might be good. And Pacific Rim.
Giant robots.
Oh, I'm going to miss it all.
Pacific Rim job.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm going to miss Star Trek Into Darkness because I do kind of want to see, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch beat up the Enterprise. And those new, you know, the trailers just came out, but Oblivion and After Earth both look pretty damn good, too.
Yes.
I do love me some, you know, good sci-fi, so I'm going to miss that.
Yeah, I'm going to miss Oblivion as well, because if there was an Eclipse Phase movie, that would be it.
Probably, yeah.
And I'm also going to miss Pacific Rim, because of all of the people who could possibly defeat GLaDOS besides Chell, Idris Elba, I think, could...
But GLaDOS is a good one in that, isn't she?
I don't know.
There's a lot of big, like, sci-fi apocalypse.
Yeah.
Major.
Well, we've got a real apocalypse happening right now.
So, yeah.
Supposedly.
For me, I'm going to miss more Avengers movies and stuff. Because I know there's supposed to be at least one more coming out.
Yep.
And as much as I'm not sure it's going to be good, I do want to see Band of Steel.
Yeah. I think it's going to be good.
It's probably going to be good. And we're going to die.
Yeah. Well, let's keep thinking about good things. What about TV shows we're looking forward to?
Well, TV. Well, there's always the Joss Whedon Shield TV show.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'm looking forward to that one.
And it's the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who coming next year, right?
Oh, so they're going to do something big.
They're going to do something.
Me, I'm going to... If I don't find out how Breaking Bad ends, I'm going to be really pissed off.
I bet when you find out how it ends, you're going to be just really depressed.
Probably. I mean, it's not going to end well.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
Story-wise, it'll be I'm sure it's going to be a good ending. But for the characters, nothing good is going to come out of it.
No.
I'm also going to miss the fact, I know it's only a few weeks left, but I want to know how Fringe ends.
Yeah, and this would be a really bad time for the world to end, because there's only 4 episodes left.
Yeah, I'd be really upset.
And I'm going to miss out on the rest of the second season of Once Upon a Time.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm never going to get to see AMC's prequel series to Psycho, Bates Motel.
Oh, and awesome. I'll never find out if Dexter is going to fuck his sister.
Oh, Ryan, think on the bright side. You don't have an eye anymore, so you can't see anything anyway.
Oh, that's true.
So that's the bright side. Video games. I like video games.
Yeah, those are good.
But there's a lot of those we're going to miss, too.
Yeah.
I have three games I can really think I'm going to miss. Was The Last of Us and Beyond Two Souls and Watch Dogs. I mean, those are... I saw those at E3, and they look so good.
Yeah. I know it looks somewhat of a departure, but... I'm going to miss Dead Space 3 because, you know, like I said, I've been big on horror lately, and that's definitely good. Also, DMC, Devil May Cry. You know, it got a lot of flack, but I played the demo, and it was really... I really enjoyed it, so I'm looking forward to that. Also, of course, Bioshock Infinite.
I just came. I'm sorry.
That looks awesome. Yeah. I wanted to play that since I saw the preview last summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched...
Stupid Apocalypse.
The preview at The Hobbit that I saw... was made me come in my seat a little bit.
It does look rather amazing.
Yeah.
And I've also heard that Valve's coming out with a dedicated Steam console, which is good for PC gamers like me, whose PCs suck.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming it would be cheaper than to buy an entirely new PC gaming machine.
I'm looking forward to, I'm assuming, the conclusion of the Dragon Age trilogy.
Dragon Age 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something. I guess the books and comics are something they could survive, maybe, right?
But I mean, if they're not produced yet, we're never going to get to read them.
Oh, God.
We could write our own endings.
That's what we'll do during the apocalypse, just before things end. We'll tell each other.
Did anyone bring any paper?
No.
We don't even have any feces anymore, because Meyer just emptied the bucket.
The book is telling me we can use our own skin.
Meyer, stop reading that damn book.
Ryan has the most skin out of all of us.
No, Meyer,
I'm not reading anymore. It's telling me stuff.
Yeah, Meyer, don't listen to the book. Trust me on this one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I mean, the book is... I pretty much am the book at this point. No good advice in
there. The book is the one who told you to get all those tattoos.
Yeah.
And I can see those tattoos, which is really disconcerting. Because
Do you notice how they keep moving?
Yes.
I can feel that.
Oh, it's awful.
It is uncomfortable.
Yeah, talk about uncomfortable... I'm bad at doing transitions.
Yeah.
That was pretty terrible.
That was a bad transition. I'd
talk about uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's probably what our listeners are right now. So why don't you talk about some of the books you're going to miss?
I'm going to miss Saga, because it's amazing. And Brian Lee O'Malley has a new comic coming out called Seconds. Which is going to be really cool, too, because I like Scott Pilgrim, and Brian Lee O'Malley is cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really going to miss the conclusion of A Song of Ice and Fire series. It's 6th and 7th books, Winds of Winter, and I think the 7th one's going to be called The Sounds of Spring, because I need to know how that shit ends. Because if George R. R. Martin dies in this apocalypse, or if he dies before he finishes those books, that's not cool, man. Mm. I'm also going to miss The Walking Dead, because the comic is... 100-something issues strong and still going.
To be fair, I don't think it's ever going to end.
Well, it will if the world does.
Unless zombies. Zombies never die. Unless they get dead.
I mean, they will, like, decay eventually.
Unless they're immortal zombies.
That would be pretty awful.
Well, as far as books I'm going to miss the rest of the Sandman Slim books. And from what Richard Kadrey says, I think he's got at least 2 more planned.
Wow.
And Neil Gaiman's coming out with a new novel next year called The Ocean at the End of the Lake. I'm never going to get to read.
I didn't even know that.
I'm sad that Faulkner will never write again.
That's kind of been the deal for a while.
What?
Yeah, Faulkner hasn't written a book in a long time.
But he's so good. Why doesn't he write anymore?
I'm pretty sure it's because he's dead.
What?
Yeah. Also, Hemingway is dead. Jules Verne, Dr. Seuss, H.G. Wells, H.P. Lovecraft, Shakespeare.
No.
Yep.
No, you're pulling my leg.
No, dead like 500 years.
Ed, if Shakespeare's dead, then who did we have coffee with last week?
I don't know.
Oh, that was a manifestation of the book.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Did he rhyme at you? Did he say anything that rhymed?
Couple of things.
Okay. Well, there's a chance you may have an Aztec brain worm growing in your spinal column.
All right, Ryan, why don't we go get MRIs? Shit, we were supposed to do another segment. Why don't we just play that Will interview we have in the can?
Yeah, this is as good a time as any.
All right, so we'll do that. Ryan, we'll go get MRIs.
Okay, yeah.
All right,
they don't exist anymore.
Well, the apocalypse hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you both can't drive, so...
Well, no, I mean, I brought an MRI machine.
Sorry, guys, we're gonna have to listen to this rerun.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to... Meyer and I are going to have to ride the bike to power the MRI machine, so we're going to have to unplug the mic for a minute. But when we're done, we'll continue.
Even if we did record that segment, it probably just would have been screaming.
Yeah.
Well, MRIs aren't that bad. I mean, when I have to do the surgery to remove it...
Right.
That's
when the screaming stops.
Yeah, I didn't bring an anesthesia machine.
You know, your brain doesn't really feel pain anyway. So once you get through the skull, it's
smooth sailing.
The worms wiggle. They wiggle a lot.
I feel it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So we should probably get that. All right.
So enjoy this Will interview that we've been saving for you.
We're not going to enjoy this MRI.
No. So we'll be right back.
Everyone's favorite segment, because it features the man who is always naked, yet we never see his penis, the lovely, voluptuous Will Wilson.
It's my favorite. It's certainly my favorite segment.
It's a hell of an introduction that just got there, Will.
Yeah, and
just to let you know that I did not take off my clothes. No, Ed and Meyer did that.
They always do that.
I don't know why.
They didn't so much take them off as they did cut them off.
Yeah.
And then burn the scraps.
Mm. And...
Is it cold?
Yeah, a little cold. Can we get a blanket?
We are recording in a freezer.
Mm-hmm. Well, Will, it's another Will questions.
It's also winter.
Yeah, well, the only way we're going to release you this time is if you answer our questions.
Yeah, you have to answer all five of them, and then we'll give you...
You guys do know I have a cell phone, right? You could call me, and I'll come here on my own volition.
But this is just more fun.
We don't trust that you'll actually come.
Honestly, I got to say, his squeals when we throw him in the back of the van...
I wish we were recording those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should try that next time.
That might be like covered under some sort of like indecent materials act or something, you know, like, because they were pretty erotic. They were pretty erotic.
It would be snuff. Squeals. And we are not a snuff podcast, so.
Okay.
So by the way, where are you guys get all the money for all these different vans? One's blue, one's white, one's purple. What's going on?
Same van, different paint.
Yeah.
The question
you should be asking is where we're getting all this money for paint.
Yeah.
we repaint the van every time, so you won't recognize it.
Yeah.
All right, Will. So first
and
question.
And the license plate, too, apparently.
Yeah, those are easy.
Well, question number one out of five. I will be asking the first one. Are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
All right.
Here we go. Myers has questions.
If you look into the mirror of Irised, what do you see?
Wait, say that again?
If you look into the mirror of Irised, what do you see? The mirror of Irised is from Harry Potter.
The one where you look
into it. And as you look into it, your deepest desire you see. So Harry Potter stars family.
Hmm. Is it?
That's a good question.
I was going to...
Oh, man.
That's a good question.
Oh, God. Will's doing a Will impression.
Hey, guys.
Oh, no. Will's doing a Batman impression. So,
what's your deepest desire?
Wow. I don't know. Hold on. Give me a second.
We can cut the silence.
You can cut the silence.
I'm waiting for... want a buffalo chicken pineapple pizza?
Want DeVito's corpse on a steak.
Well, hey, that was delicious.
DeVito's corpse on a steak was delicious.
No, the pizza was delicious.
Well, Dumbledore said he saw socks, but he was probably seeing his like dead sister or something.
All right, Will, what would you see?
Probably for like happy life and happy family.
That's sweet.
Your family giving you hugs and kisses?
You know, just. Yeah.
Well, what is a happy life and a happy family in your eyes?
I know it. That's... I don't really know.
No?
How many children do you have? Do you have children, or is it just you and your wife or husband?
Mm-hmm. Two children.
A boy and a girl, two girls.
That's still...
So he sees...
That's still up in the air.
There's two dotted lines. That waste time.
Will looks into the mirror of Erised and sees a horribly nebulous cloud of possibility.
It's a terrible thing.
The threads of reality stretch out into infinity.
So you have two... So you have two hermaphrodite children.
What about your wife? Is she blonde, brunette, redhead?
Brunette.
Okay. Do you love your hermaphrodite children?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you love your wife?
Yes.
Have you ever cheated on her?
No.
If you did cheat on her, would you tell her?
No.
What's your wife's cup size?
So they don't have an honest marriage.
No.
What's your wife's cup size?
They're happy.
Will.
I don't know.
So okay, so she has nebulous breasts also.
Breast size doesn't matter to me.
Well, it's just kind of fuzzy.
It's a cloud of boom.
Really, everything about her is just fuzzy except for her hair, which is brown.
This like stark brown hair.
There's a blob with brown hair, and then two smaller blobs standing next to her.
Well, would you look different? Will. Would you be now like in fit and stuff?
What would you look like?
I'll be thinner.
Yeah.
All right. So we have these three amorphous blobs, and then Arnold Schwarzenegger with Will's face
standing next to the Adonis figure.
What would you and you would
live? You want to live?
And you would be a security guard. You'd be wearing a security guard's uniform.
No.
So what would your job be then?
I don't know.
He's answered that already. He'd be wasn't a pilot? I think was your
answer. Yeah, pilot. So you'd be a blimp pilot.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What would your wife do?
Stripper.
This is your deepest desire, Will. It doesn't have to make sense.
I don't know. Similar job, I don't know.
She's also a blimp pilot.
Do you ever embrace your blimps?
That's what I was... They met at a football game.
Will was piloting a blimpy blimp. She was piloting a subway blimp. It shouldn't have worked, but goddamn it, they made it work.
All right. So, question two.
I think we're going to have to leave that one.
If someone gave you $1
million. $1 million.
What's the first thing you would buy? First thing.
First thing I would do is get out of debt.
Okay, but what would be the first thing you would buy?
So I would buy?
Yes.
My own place.
Your own place. Your house. Okay, yeah. So a house. What kind of house?
A house.
Where? Like, where? Would it be, like, on a lake or a beach? Or
Actually, it would be on a lake.
Okay.
Where would the lake be?
New Hampshire. Lake Winnipesaukee.
Okay. All right. So you know exactly what you want.
Yeah.
So when you said just a house, you meant a lakefront house.
Lakefront house,
Describe
yes.
your house. How many bedrooms? How many bathrooms? How big is it?
Three bedrooms, two bathrooms.
Okay.
One story or two story?
Two.
What you're answering...
What?
What color is the outside?
I guess,
it's made of wood.
Oh. I'm just trying to think of the, nice color up there. It's...
Are you just gonna buy the house that you go to in the summer?
No. Okay. I won't buy that one.
It's Paisley. Will has a Paisley house.
What color is your house?
Fuchsia.
It's like green.
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 Is it light green?
It's light green.
Is there a deck in the back?
It's a deck in the front.
So it's a porch.
Yeah.
What kind of neighbors do you have?
Me and
awesome
you.
Neighbors.
Are you going to buy them too?
No.
Do your blob wife and her children like the house?
Yes.
Now, is this a full-time house or do you not do you only live there part of the year?
Full-time.
All right, so you're going to be there.
Are you going to give answers that are more than one or two words at all?
Nope.
Okay.
Will's learning.
That's all right, Will. I'm going to move in right next to your house.
Yeah. I'll move in on the other side.
Oh god.
You'll get those awesome neighbors.
Yeah. No.
All right.
I'll move away at that point. Cuz I probably move there to get away from you.
Wow. I'm so fucked.
Yeah, so let's move on to question number three. All right, well, Ed and Meyer are hanging over a pit of lava.
Oh, of course they are.
Now,
we do that sometimes.
Yeah. You can either save one of them Or you could save both of them, but only by sacrificing yourself.
Huh.
So which would you do, and how would you do it?
Huh.
So would you save one of them and let the other one die? Or would you kill yourself and let both of them live?
That's a face there.
The volcano demands a sacrifice.
I think one of us is a dead, Ed. And I didn't hit you in the balls today.
It's true. But you can't make a decision based on one occurrence.
You don't... It's not one occurrence.
That's true.
You also
and, but the thing is, though, is that Mario used to slap me in the balls once a day.
That's true.
You don't have to tell us which one you would save.
You just have to tell us which one you'd let die. you can't let him get out of it that easy.
Ryan's too much of a soft touch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would you do?
Or you could kill yourself and save both of us.
Yeah.
Is that what you would do?
That happened.
All right, so which of your friends would you let die, Will? Ed or Maya? They're both hanging over this pit of lava.
Will, we're falling. We're falling to our death. Help me.
Will, please don't kill me. Oh, please, I want to live.
One of them must die.
Oh, God, Will. Oh. Help me, my fingers are slipping.
It's so hot.
Oh, what do you save, Will? What do you do?
Oh. I save my oldest friend, I save Ed.
All right.
Bye-bye. Yes. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Thank you, Will.
All right, so you save Ed. So what, now, Meyer's falling. Time slows. You have a chance to say one last thing to him. As you let him die, he's falling like Gollum. He's falling into the mountain like Gollum. What do you say to your friend that you just killed?
Fuck you.
That's what I say.
What are your last words to Meyer?
I'm sorry, Meyer.
Tripod is dirt. A tripod, by the way, is me, Will, and James.
Would you share a cry with me?
Yes.
Would you embrace me?
Yes.
So all I have to do to get Will to not give me an awkward hug is either pay him $30 or kill Meyer.
So, Will, how would you break the news to James that now the tripod is dead? You'd kill one part of the tripod.
How would you break the news to Meyer's family?
Wait, okay, hold on. Me and Alex are Mr. and Mrs. Meyer, and you
Which one are you?
I'll be Mr. Meyer.
All right.
All right, so... You knock on the door.
Oh, hi, Billy.
Hi, this is Meyer.
Hello.
What's up?
I have some bad news.
Billy, I hope you're all right. Billy's not here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he went out to the store.
That's what I want to talk to you about. Billy kind of...
To the store?
The store by the volcano edge. It happened.
We never established how you guys got to the volcano. As far as Meyer's mom knows, he went to the store.
What happened to Billy?
Where is he?
He got sacrificed by a volcano god.
What? How did that happen?
I don't even know.
No, you have to tell me what happened. What happened to my son?
I want
to
hear every detail.
It's on his only son.
Tell me every detail.
Oh, God, my little boy.
Patty, come here, Patty. It's okay.
What happened to my boy?
He fell into a volcano.
How could you let this happen?
I'm sorry.
Wasn't there anything you could do?
Why didn't you save him?
I can only save one.
You let my boy die!
So who did you save?
I saved Ed.
You saved that freeloading son of a bitch over my son?
He lived in our house for a year.
Oh! Get out of here, William Wilson!
You're dead to me!
You are the worst person in the world!
Alright, but if I did the other way around, I'd be dealing with Mrs. Kress and Angela, and I'm pretty sure his mother would kill me.
So he made his decision based on whose parents he's afraid of.
I'm definitely more afraid of Mrs. Kress than I am of Meyer's parents.
I'm afraid of my mom.
Wow. I'm more afraid of Meyer's mom than I am of my mom.
Yeah, me too.
No, see, I think your mother can, like, get angry enough to, like, make your head explode just by looking at you.
She does know judo.
Does she?
All right, so the next question, Will, that we have for you.
This is
a good one. All right, we would like you to sing a song that describes your life.
Ooh.
And remember, this can't be a copyrighted work.
Let's make a song.
It has to be an original Wilson.
It has to be original.
I have to sing a song?
Yeah.
I don't want to sing a song.
It has to be original.
I don't care what you want. Meyer didn't want to fall into a volcano, but he did.
You let him die.
He murdered me.
The least you could do for the friend that you killed is sing a song.
Yeah. You could sing a song as I'm slow motion dying. That would make me happier.
By the way, I totally believe that you were a grieving mother, Alex.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you. It's because I lost my child.
It has to be an original song like Will's House. That's where I want to be. All
right, Will.
Oh, let's don't bring those into it, please.
Nope. We're not. Just sing a
song. No,
just gotta sing a song.
About your life.
Though we should probably play some of our Will songs on Ragnarok eventually. Yeah.
Well, why don't we give Will a little, like, let's give him a little beat, so, you know.
What kind of tempo is it? Is it upbeat? Is it downbeat?
Yeah, we'll ask Will. Do you have a... Describe your life.
You know.
Upbeat or...
What style, you know. Is this going to be a reggae number?
I don't even know.
Like Broadway musical?
Ska. Ska. No, it's not upbeat.
It's a slow.
No, it's in the middle.
Okay.
So it's just beats.
It's just beats.
Bulb. Bulb.
No, a little faster.
This is getting boring. come on, Will.
I don't know if I could do that.
Alright, so obviously that wasn't the right beat for Will.
Okay, alright.
So maybe it'll be a little.
I'm not good at making up lyrics on the spot. Describe my life in song. Yeah, I'm not doing this. Can I just omit this, please? I don't want to do it. I'm not doing it.
Alright, so how about this?
Give us
like two lines that rhyme that describe your life, and we'll sing them for you.
A limerick. Give us a limerick about your life.
I thought we were doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, you were doing a good job. That was pretty awesome.
Alright, well, why don't we start with this? Pick an existing song that you think describes your life. Don't sing it.
No,
we can't.
Oh yeah, sing 6 seconds of it.
pick a song that you think describes your life.
Okay.
This is gonna make us really sad. I think this answer is gonna be so depressing.
Christmas American
shoes.
Idiot.
Christmas shoes.
God damn it! No.
Under the bridge.
Under the boardwalk. No.
No, he's American Idiot.
I am an American idiot. I'm thinking. I don't work well under pressure.
There's no pressure.
There is a time limit here.
Will, this is not like a life and death situation which you chose to get killed.
That was the previous question.
You answered that one a lot easier.
Yes. Then just sing a song.
It was easier for you to consign Meyer to death than to pick a song that you think
describes your life. There's a few songs that describe my life.
So pick one.
Mess Drawing Board.
What song?
What?
Mess Drawing Board.
I don't know that song at all.
I don't either.
No, that's pick a real song.
It's a real song.
No, pick a
Who
better
sings
song.
It?
Mest.
Mest.
Oh, Mest Drawings?
Yeah. Drawing board by Mest. Pick a song by a band that people actually give a shit about.
Sorry, Mest.
I'm not.
not as sorry as they are.
The theme from Seinfeld.
Yeah, that would describe my life, wouldn't it?
No! Just describe anything but a salad and scrambled eggs.
No, that's Frasier, you dickbag.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
I'm really angry about 90s sitcoms, apparently.
You do. I should have known.
I don't know.
All right, so I think we can accept that answer.
The Seinfeld theme song.
Okay.
Are you really gonna go with the Seinfeld theme song, Will?
I don't know. I would really have to think about that.
I just love how he had to really think about the song. Like, I'm dead.
But he was able to let you fall into a volcano.
I am just.
And then give a really half-assed explanation to your grieving parents. Yeah. It's like, well, what happened? Oh, I don't know. I wasn't even there. Do you realize you just lied to his parents' faces, too? His grieving parents. You let their son die. And then you lied to their faces.
Yeah, and I'm picturing Will having this conversation at the fucking diner with Jerry Seinfeld. What did you tell them? You just let their son die.
You couldn't just tell them nothing.
What am I going to do? Tell the truth?
Well, I had shoes. I knew I had more, so she's dead. Mother's dead.
Kramer, who would you kill? Ed or Meyer?
Oh, that's easy. Ed.
Because that Meyer, I don't like him.
But you don't like Meyer?
I don't like him.
Well, right. Then why would you let him die? Why would you let him live if you didn't like him?
Anyway.
Suffer.
I thought I was choosing him to die.
Falling into a volcano, that's too easy for him.
All right, let's move on.
By the way, if I had if I was in Will's situation, I would sacrifice myself, because that's the kind of guy
I would am. Too. You wake up one day with all of your memories intact. Don't read the questions. Looking over my shoulder. But you are a Confederate soldier on the battlefield during the Battle of Gettysburg. What do you do?
Read that again, please.
You are you, so you have all your memories intact. So you go to bed tonight, right? You go to sleep tonight in your bed, and you wake up tomorrow, and you hear, pew, pew, and you look around, and you're on the battlefield at Gettysburg, and you look down, and you're in a gray uniform.
Oh. Flip the fuck out. Definitely flip the fuck out.
Okay. There's a man next to you holding a Confederate flag, charging, and he gets shot by a Union bullet and falls back, and the flag lands and drapes over you, so you're covered in the Confederate stars and stripes.
Stars and bars.
Carry stars and bars, I'm sorry.
Get him! Get him for me!
Take the flag, brother! Fight for the cause!
Why are they Scottish?
I'm sure there was a Scotsman somewhere.
Orange, I think some Irish
and his mouth is full of blood. It's hard to talk.
That's true.
See, so nobody agrees.
Would you pick up the stars and bars and march?
No.
What would you do?
I would run the other way.
Well, there's a people behind you.
So, you're
a deserter.
You run away and you run face first into a Confederate general who says, "Cowards will be shot."
Ulysses S. Grant.
He points back at the
Grant
at
was a Union general.
Yeah,
Stonewall
Robert,
Jackson.
Robert E. Lee.
Robert Lee. Yeah, Lee was there.
Get back to your post, soldier.
And he
brandishes his saber and points it at you.
Kenneth Branagh from Wild Wild West clumps over to you on some spider legs. Boy, you get over there and whoop those Yankee bastards.
Oh, no, he lost his legs in the war. Oh,
right, right. What do you do?
Well, I am a Yankee, so...
But they don't know that.
They don't know that. You're wearing the Confederate uniform.
So well, now I'm face-to-face with the general, right?
Yeah.
So you say you're a Yankee?
I have a gun, right?
You don't know how to fire a musket.
You're going to try to murder Robert E. Lee.
Wow. Do you know what that's going to do to history?
Yeah, but I'm already
no, set do
back.
You do you really know what it's going to do to history?
Changing a Whitley?
Like, you kill Robert E. Lee, he might not surrender, because then somebody else would take over.
Well, that's true. If he killed Robert E. Lee, he wouldn't surrender, because he'd be dead.
Right.
But the person who, I think what I'm saying is, the Confederate general who assumed Robert E. Lee's position might be...
Yes,
Oh, true that.
Yeah. The Civil War might still be going
on. So you'd shoot Robert E. Lee, and then you'd make slavery okay?
No.
That's what you just said.
On the other side, though, I will say, in Will's defense, the Civil War was the bloodiest war in our nation's entire history. Yeah. And there's a chance that by killing Robert E. Lee, the Confederacy might do worse. They might lose their That's star true. General.
Well, what if what
and
if,
just surrender earlier?
What if it was day three of Gettysburg? What if it was Pickett's Charge, where you just had to walk, walk straight into cannon fire, and you're in midfield, and there's just cannons just bursting at you, and you just walk in the front of the lines, and you're just going to keep walking.
So you're in this ditch wheel. You wake up. Unions in blue are running, coming at you. The Yankees are coming at you. And muskets firing. Yeah. Muskets and rifles. Cannons firing.
No, Pickett's Charge was just walking it.
No, but I'm saying this is when he first wakes up.
Oh, okay.
And you got boys in gray behind you, carrying the stars and bars and charging forward. People are dying everywhere. What do you do?
You're in the middle of the battlefield.
And you turn your back and... You know, you start to run away, and the general's there, and Robert E. Lee is there, holding his saber at your throat. You don't really have time to grab your gun.
It's true.
No, he'd probably already be holding his rifle.
Right, but I don't think you're agile enough to win a standoff with Robert E. Lee.
Boy, I said get back on the line.
Either you sing a song about your life,
or I end it here and now.
Assume character. So what do you do? So he's holding.
It's you, yeah. We're improvising here, Will.
Turn around now, boy.
Fight for your country.
Why are you standing there slack-jawed? What are you, some sort of idiot?
That's it. Lieutenant, execute this man.
All right.
Will, you just got killed.
You're dead.
Just, I don't know what to do.
So if Will got transported back, he would get killed. He would just die.
He'd be a deserter, and they would just kill him.
This is the second question he could not answer. But I'm still dead.
Well, at least he's dead too now. Yeah. With you. So now you get to hell.
And I'm there.
And Myers. So Myers. And Myers Will shows up in hell. No, no, what no. do you do now?
It wouldn't because. Will would have showed up in hell, what, 150 years before
time my... works differently.
Yeah, though. Time works... Oh, okay. No, Will's going to show up to his hell.
So subjectively...
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's Meyer waiting for...
Well, I would... If I was in hell, I'd probably try to become best buds with the devil, and then let him... he would allow me to do whatever I wish to Will.
So what would you...
All right, so let's say you befriend the devil, yeah. And the devil gives you a morning star to greet your good friend Will with.
He's gonna get that in his dick hole. He's gonna go.
I approve.
Oh, kids in a sandbox.
So Will.
So Will, what do? You arrive in hell and you see Meyer.
His flesh is just charred and crisp.
You've just been killed by a Confederate soldier for abandoning your post.
You're still wearing the grays.
Meyer's clothes have burned off his body, and sometimes parts of his flesh just fall off.
And you walk up and you see him. What do you say?
Oh.
Hi. Oh?
No. Really? Oh, no.
No, it was, oh, hi.
Hi, Meyer.
Hey, Will, remember how you killed me?
I didn't kill you.
Yeah, well, guess what? I'm best buds with the devil now.
Is this that bastard you were talking about?
Yes. Yes, Lucifer. This is the fuck who
And I'm fucked.
Why would you let your friend die like that? Why didn't you sacrifice yourself and save both of them? Dick move, bro.
That would have been an automatic ticket to heaven, man. You're fucked now.
Go ahead, stick the Morning Star up his dick.
You could have had any angel you wanted, but instead, you're down here. Why would you do that?
Because I wanted to live.
Explain your reasoning in a logical, coherent manner.
Selfish bastard.
All right.
Well, I have to say, Will, you really didn't answer all five of our questions, so we can't let you go.
Sorry. Back in the closet.
Back in the closet.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Will, and I'm awesome. And really not at the same time.
Yeah. Was that your song?
That wasn't even sing.
Oh. You could have at least fucking made an effort and sung that. Oh.
It's too late now. We already moved past that question.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
The deed has been done.
That was the questions. He didn't answer.
No.
Oh, that's all you say to him? All right. You let the guy fall into a volcano?
I wake up in a Confederate uniform, and I'm looking around. And I'm trying my Confederate guys. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to kill the fucking Confederate guys around me.
No, he still will. He's going to still get killed.
I'm probably going to get killed, but at the same time, okay. I'm fighting for my cause.
That might buy you a ticket into heaven if you sacrifice yourself by taking down as many Confederates as you can.
But you know what? I definitely would have brought him to hell if he sacrificed himself to save yes. his friends.
Yeah, you mean to heaven. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
So, wait a minute. So you're willing to sacrifice yourself to take down Confederate soldiers,
but not to save
Meyer's life.
Country's more important, my friend.
Wow. Will's feelings for the Stars and Stripes are so much stronger than the feelings he has for anyone.
So, could we say that a song about Will's life would be America the Beautiful then?
I think it would have to be a song about not loving your friends and family as much as you love a flag.
Okay.
No, I love my family.
So it's a song about not loving your friends as much as you love a flag.
It would be the battle hymn of the Republic.
And so that's it.
Meyer can go fuck himself.
Yep.
Now can I go?
I'm dead. Will's going to be in the closet for the rest of, until we need him again.
Yeah.
For the Will interview.
You still didn't sing a song. You can't go. No.
Yeah.
All right. So, no, that's copyrighted. Yeah, stop singing that.
Yeah. So I guess that's
red haired lady.
Enjoy,
for an apple.
And a second. Yeah. Well, I'm better. I feel better now that Ed and Ryan have those things out of their heads.
Yes. Yeah. Did you enjoy the worms I fed you, Meyer?
They were quite delicious,
no
to be honest.
Worms
and
in head.
I feel much better after eating them. So thank you. I feel so good. I'm going to do some plugs.
Ryan, ear leak.
Ryan, be a deer and put your brain back in.
Brain.
Yes, Meyer, do some plugs.
Yeah. If you like people who only tweet once a week, listen to our Twitter on at Ragnarok. There's Facebook at facebook.com/Ragnarok. Like us.
Yes.
Like us, talk to us. You can
comment
on our website, ragnarok.com, which is just because Crawkill is very lonely.
And don't forget that you can email us.
And there's email.
At info@ragnarok.com.
Email.
And Ryan knows the phone number, right, Ryan?
Phone number.
Call us, voicemail.
516-362-6373. Or 516-362-NERD.
I see my little pet left you some of your cognitive functions.
So I think all in all, I feel pretty confident. I don't think that Ragnarok's gonna happen.
iTunes?
Oh, you're right! I forgot about that.
5-star ratings.
Yeah. We're iTunes, so listen to us and give us 5 stars, or 2 stars because, you know, we're childish and homophobic and stuff.
Yes, thank you for joining us for episode 29 of Ragnarok.
Not bitter.
The Nerdpocalypse 2012 extravaganza, or
as Nagavarskivov, he's not to the Nachgren. I am the book.
Alex,
Ed.
Alex, what do me, Ryan? What do?
I am the book. Your souls belong to me. Your planet is mine.
Look pretty.
Goodbye, mortals.